You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Ross Brierley, Paddy Aspel and James Millman in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well. It's November Handicap Day at Doncaster. Good racing at Wincanton as well. A couple of grade twos on their card and the Badger Ales Trophy. Good jumping at Aintree and Kelso as well. And evening action at Chelmsford City on their all-weather surface. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am very well indeed.
Good man, good man. Good Saturday to look forward to. It's the traditional end of the flat season with November Handicap Day at Doncaster. Some good jumping as well. We might even see the lesser-spotted Simon Sig turn up on Saturday as well.
Okay, that day has been lesser-spotted. I hope he does better than his half-brother did yesterday. Yeah. Sim Arthur, who managed to hit every fence on the way round at Musselburgh. I'm sure we'll see a better display from Simon Sake should he turn up. Or Simon Sake, as we should be calling him apparently, but it's really difficult to change the habit of a lifetime.
Yes. He's going over hurdles as well. Just, do you think that's just an easy way to get him back into the swing of things?
Yeah, I mean, bear in mind he was a top-class hurdler. He'd have been fancied if he'd gone down the champion hurdle route, for example. But he went novice chasing instead and won the Arkle. And looked like the world might have been his oyster. But he's clearly had problems. He had problems even before the Arkle. He reportedly bled in the gallops prior to that race. So it's not been easy to get him right. And we've seen one or two from the Henderson Yard now just struggle to pull their careers back on track. Sprinter Sacra being an obvious example. And Bob's Worth last season as well.
Yeah.
Horse who suddenly dipped out of the public consciousness. So it'd be nice to see Simon Sake back on track. But we'll not be holding our breath in terms of seeing him at his very best again.
Okay. Sticking with the jumps theme for a moment or two as well, Coney Gree is not in the entries for in the decks for the King George. Obviously seemed quite curious. They're blaming it on a computer error.
Yes, a computer glitch, which I suspect means
somebody didn't press enter.
I couldn't turn the computer on, or I'd locked the door of the room the computer's in and couldn't get in on time. I suspect the computer is probably the innocent party here to some degree. But that's part of the appeal of the Coney Gree team, is that they are a little bit haphazard, aren't they, the Bradstocks? Or they certainly give that impression. It's they are a smallish yard, a yard with a lot of tradition behind them, but also, they're just two unassuming people trying to crack on at this big game, which has become a millionaire's paradise in recent years. So the victory of Coney Gree in last year's Gold Cup was a tremendous story. And although the King George is probably out of the equation, although I think they can supplement him, of course, it was a race they probably weren't going to run in anyway. So it's not the biggest disaster. It just makes you look a little bit daft when things like that happen. But we've had stories like this before. We had when Norton's Coin won the Gold Cup, again, his owner-trainer, Cyril Griffiths, another great character with a small string, wanted to enter him in a handicap at the festival. I think possibly the Cathcart. So quite a minor race. Forgot when the deadline for that was and was left with, well, he was going to run at all. He's got to go in the Gold Cup. So he ended up running the horse in the Gold Cup instead, and history relates he pulled off the biggest upset of all time.
Yeah. Might be a blessing in disguise then. Bit of other news as well. Poor old Gary Moore. He's had a tough time of things with Saïd Agrougie, and he's in the hospital now. He's taken a few kicks by the looks of things.
Yeah, I don't think Saïd Agrougie is the guilty party here, but he was legging up wife Jane when a horse behind him seemingly gave him both barrels, and that can be very nasty indeed. Mm. He's broken a number of ribs, and he's got fluid on the lung as a result, and that's kept him in intensive care. Hopefully he'll be recovered quickly. As I said, when we talked about this last night, he's very, very tough as Gary, and it would have to be very serious to keep him out of action for any length of time at all.
Yeah, we wish him well. Hopefully he'll be back on his feet in no time. Obviously, the big flat finale as well, Hayley Turner's final day in the saddle. Anything you want to add before we move on to looking at the racing?
Well, we'll hopefully touch on Hayley as we go through, but she's It's interesting that she's kept going all the way to the end of the season, but then you sort of see how that works for her. A final week is almost a tour of her local tracks. She had a winner at Southall, and then Nottingham, another track that's very local to her, and at Doncaster, not far down the road from where she grew up as well. So it's nice for her to be able to go out in front of her her regular fans, and indeed her family. I think her entire family was there at Southall the other day to see her write a winner for Conor Doerr, and she'll be very keen to write a winner on the final day that she holds a licence, and that's not beyond the realms of possibility. There could be a fairy tale ending there.
Mm. We'll move on to it in more detail in a moment, of course, but her ride in the November handicap, Bruno Rotti, I was talking to the traders about an hour or two ago, and people are backing it, so
really?
People backing the fairy tale, maybe.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but we'll move on to that in due course. We're going to get Rory's thoughts on two races at Doncaster and a couple of races at Wincanton as well, and we'll get them on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll go through these with two at Doncaster to start with, and then we'll move on to the two at Wincanton. The first of them is the 2.55 at Doncaster, which is the Gillies Filly Stakes, a listed race over a mile and a quarter for three-year-old fillies and older. A nice, healthy field of 13 as well here, Rory. So who'd you like in there?
There's one that I like a lot in here, a filly that I was hoping to see perhaps sneak into the November handicap itself, but actually this is probably a better aim for her, and that's Mick Appleby's La Hayeb, who's been keeping under the radar a little bit this season. All her runs since the spring have come at Nottingham. Her form figures in her last six races, second, first, third, first, second, first. She was very impressive in a competitive handicap last time out, beating an improver of Sir Mark Prescott's called Aliator. She had one of the each-way fancies for the November handicap behind her in third that day, Esteeming. And she won with plenty in hand. On her previous start, she went down very narrowly in a close finish. But the way she travelled through a race last time out was very taking. And Mick Appleby, I remember him winning the November Handicap with Art Scholar a few years ago, and he gave that horse a very similar campaign to her. Indeed, she one of the races she won, or maybe the race she was second in actually two starts ago, was a race that had been won by Art Scholar in his time before he went on to win the November Handicap. And it was clear to me then that she was being campaigned with that day in mind. It was just a case of missing the race and realising that this was possibly even more up her street. She's been running at a mile and a quarter. The trip at Nottingham is almost identical to the trip here. It's that extended mile and two. She's her best form has come on very soft ground, and I thought we'd be getting close to heavy ground at Doncaster tomorrow. It's not been particularly pleasant here the last couple of days, and Doncaster's not a million miles away. Everyone's been hit by the rain, so I think soft at the moment, it's only going to get softer than that, which will suit her down to the ground, whereas it won't suit one or two of the others in here.
Okay, so La Hayeb, sounds like quite a strong selection there. Biggest danger for you?
Biggest danger is probably Blue Waltz. He's a dual course and distance winner. The only worry with Blue Waltz is that although she's got a pedigree that suggests she'll handle soft ground very well, she's only raced on ground softer than good once. She was a winner at Newbury on good to soft, but whether she wants the mud is open to debate. If she does handle the mud, then she could even improve further and she would be a big danger. But La Hayeb's been laid out for this and conditions are ideal for her.
Okay. La Hayeb, the selection for Rory then in the 2.55 at Doncaster, the Gillies Filly Stakes. Moving on to the big race at Doncaster on Saturday afternoon, the November handicap, a class 2 handicap over a mile and a half. We have a field of 22 here because Argus is a significant non-runner, and I'll spin through the betting as it stands at the moment. Penhill 11-2, Seymour 7-1, 10-1 for Esteeming and Green Light, Misty Rock another at 10s, 14s for Cousin Key, Litigant is 14s as well with Zand, 16s for Awake My Soul and Bruno Rotti, and only Orson Fools in Stormforce 10 also 16s and 20s or bigger for the others. As open as you would expect, Rory, but where do you want to start in there? You mentioned at the start of the podcast that you think Hayley Turner will have a decent day. Is this one of the selections?
Yeah, I would probably split my stakes here. There's one that I've always liked all season, and I'm convinced he'd win a big handicap, and he'd probably be the main choice in that. That's Seymour, who drops back to a mile and a half from two and a quarter. And it's debatable what his ideal trip is, but his trainer is convinced he doesn't stay beyond 2 miles, which is why he's running in this rather than Cesaro, which I like him a lot and always have done, so I'm not going to abandon him. But yes, you're right. I do think Buonarroti's got a much better chance than his form figures suggest. I think he's... I don't know whether he's going to turn into a proper gamble. Obviously, people will be keen to see Hilly go out in a winner. But it'd be interesting to see if his price holds up. He was fifth behind Argus last time out. A few of these came from the same race. It was a race over course and distance in which Misty Rock set the pace, and Argus picked him up close home. Misty Rock just didn't quite get home. And for me, that means he's not going to stay the mile and a half on bad ground tomorrow either. And I would have been against Argus as well. Argus got the run of things and wasn't proven on the very deep ground. Of course, he's now come out. But it opens the race up a fair bit. Buonarroti was fifth that day, but I thought he was a big eye-catcher. Again, the nature of the race was they went fairly steadily in front and then quickened up off the bend. Buonarroti travelled as well as anything in the race, but he's not the type who can quicken immediately. So he's only able to sort of plug on at the one pace, but he kept going strongly, gave the impression, given a stronger pace, or more of a stamina test, he'd have come to the fore there. He's a big, strong son of Galileo, who's taken time, I think, to really develop. He became disappointing for Aidan O'Brien. He hasn't quite hit the heights for Declan Carl as yet, but he was a good second at Haydock back in September. His run over course and distance last time out was full of promise. If you go back a couple of years, 22-year-old, he finished ahead of the likes of the Grey Gatsby when fifth in a big field in the Racing Post Trophy on heavy ground here. That was arguably his best performance as a two-year-old, almost certainly his best performance as a two-year-old, shows that heavy ground's not a problem to him at all. And as I said, he's big and strong, and he will go through the ground better than most of these. I thought the way he caught the eye last time out marks him down as one to be interested in. The other angle you've got to look at in this race, again, it's the draw angle. It's a left-handed track. Those who go the shortest route are drawn in low numbers, but they never seem to perform as well as they should do. You want to be drawn mid to wide. In fact, the wider you are statistically, the better return you get for your money. So don't be put off backing anything drawn in 20-odd. Buonarroti's on in stall 16. Seymour, who's my other fancy, is drawn in stall 21. And that would not be a negative for either of them. Giant Steps Ahead, who's widest to fall in stall 23, will probably make the running. I don't think that will help him, to be perfectly honest. But those drawn immediately as inside, Penhill, Seymour, Esteeming, Misty Rock won't stay. Those three wide ones should all play a part in the finish. And it might be worth looking at the exotics, the forecast and the tricast in this race.
Yeah, interesting. Just looking through the previous winners, the lowest stall number in recent years has been stall 9.
Yes.
So yeah. Prove your point.
And you look at the places as well, and you see it's not just a freak with the winners. The place horses are all coming out of whitish stalls as well, as a rule.
Okay, so what would you go with? Would you go with both of them against the field, or would you nail it down to one?
I'll be backing Buonarroti each way, and I'll back Seymour win only. You really want one selection, don't you? Let's give Haley the benefit of the doubt and make Buonarroti the selection and the risk.
Yeah, well, given there's 22 of them, I suppose we can have a couple against the field in there. The 2:05 at Wincanton is where we go next. This one is the Badgerelles Trophy, a listed handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've got a field of 13 here, and who do you like in there? It's going to be quite an open heat as well.
It is. The one who could be a little bit of a blot here is a horse called the Iron Lad, having his first start for Paul Nicholls. He will be my pick in the race. I think he's got plenty in his favour. He's got a little bit to prove after his last two runs last season. He was down the field at the Cheltenham Festival in the Kim Muir, and then he pulled up at Sandown in his final start. But he was an impressive winner of a handicap chase at Leicester in November, when with Tom George, which was Tom George all last season. And then he finished a very good second at Cheltenham off a mark of 127 on his next start. But he had a really hard race there. And it looked like that left its mark on him for the rest of the season, essentially. Not that he was disgraced at all in his next start, but subsequently, after two poor runs, which are both forgivable in my opinion, he's dropped down the weights to a mark of 125, which was lower than when he was second at Cheltenham. He's only a 7-year-old. He's the second youngest horse in this race. He's liable to improve a little bit, and the fact that he's moved from Tom George to Paul Nicholls will not be seen as a bad thing by many people. The issue then, again, is the prices. I would make him favourite for this. He's certainly a horse I'd be careful of. He wears a tongue tie for the first time, which you could take as a negative. But Paul Nicholls has done okay with horses wearing a first-time tongue tie. Sam Winner, one of the stable stars, wore a tongue tie for the first time on his reappearance at Cheltenham last season at the Open meeting, that 3.5, the major Domo hospitality handicap chase, and he won that by half the track. So it shouldn't be a negative. The other thing that will play into his hands is that there's a lot of front runners in here. There's a few horses I like who want to make the running, but I think there are too many and they're liable to cut each other's throats. So a horse like Carlos Destriar, I've got a lot of time for, but he's not going to get an easy time on the front, and hold-up horses should come to the fore. So the Iron Lad's the obvious one. The other one, ironically enough, is Tom George's. Tom, of course, the trainer of this last season, has lost it to Paul Nicholls, but he also has a horse called A Good Skin here, who will be fit after a run at Cheltenham a couple of weeks ago. He'll come on for that. He needed that run. He will do better for it, and he's another one who's held up and tends to travel strongly in his race. So he looks the main danger, and of course, if Tom George could turn one over on his old charge now in the care of Paul Nicholls, he'd be delighted to do that. So that would be the two against the field there.
A couple against field there for Rory as well, and in the 2:05, and we finish off in the 3:15 at Wincanton. This is the Elite Hurdle, a Grade 2 limited handicap of a mile and 7 furlongs. We've got a field of 8 here, and a good renewal of this as well, Rory.
It is. It's got some interesting unexposed horses in it, and the most interesting of those, arguably Francis of Assisi, a horse who's been doing very well this season. I don't think he came up the hill at Cheltenham, Francis of Assisi. He's got a lot of speed, but the Wincanton track is the fastest in the country, and it's also since it's been remeasured, it's been found to be only just over a mile and 7 furlongs, which explains why the times are so quick there. But it is dead flat or even ever so slightly downhill in the home straight, and therefore it's a real speed course, and that should suit Francis of Assisi, who was an easy winner at Fakenham last time out. This, on the other hand, is a very different test, and I think the Elite Hurdle is a race that should go to a hardened hurdler, really. So while Francis of Assisi is feared, I thought Irving, who ought to have won the race last year, was the one to beat. He fell at the last. He'd just come through to take up the running last year when he took a really heavy fall at the last hurdle. A few people thought he might not get up from that. But he did. Not only did he get up from it, he went on to win the Fighting Fifth on his next start. His form has been patchy since. He was arguably unlucky. He wasn't particularly well ridden by Nick Schofield when second in the Champion Hurdle trial here in February, the Kingwell. He allowed the winner to get first run on him. That was Blue Heron and Harry Skelton. But he pulled up twice. When he's raced on fast ground, good or quicker ground, he's run poorly. One of those was in the Christmas Hurdle at Kempton, and the other one was in the Scottish Champion Hurdle at Ayr. The fact that he's got that 3 non-completions from 5 starts last season will put a lot of people off, but when he was right, he was very good. And although he's giving weight all round, I don't think that'll be a major issue for him. So I think he's the one to beat. The other one to mention in the race is probably Dan Skelton, Zareb, who's only a 4-year-old. He's out of the handicap here, but only by a pound. He did pretty well last season, was a very respectable 6th in the Fred Winter, shipping better than the result. Looked a bit of a non-stayer there up the hill. Travelled as well as anything to the foot of the hill and didn't quite get home having raced freely. He'll be very well suited by this course and distance. Of course, a winner over course and distance last season as well. And as a 4-year-old, he should improve a chunk. He will also be fit, given that he's coming from the Dan Skelton yard. So he's a danger, but I think that I think Irving will be ready for this. That's always a question mark when you're looking at early season races. Will the horses be fit? Paul Nicholls has sometimes brought horses into this race just in need of a run because he's looking at bigger prizes later on. But Irving's not going to win a Champion Hurdle, not in a month of Sundays. And he's not going to win when the going turns fast again either. So his best opportunities are these sort of Champion Hurdle trials, these minor hurdle events on soft ground around 2 miles. So he'd be mad if he didn't have Irving hard fit for this race, and I expect that to be the case.
Where does Melodic Rendezvous stand nowadays? He's obviously a previous winner of the race and talented on soft ground.
I think his speed has probably been compromised by going over fences last season. I think the fact that they went over fences, well, the horse is not at all bred for it. He's by Wera Wen, who of course won the QE2 for Terry Mills back in the day, although he does have a jumping pedigree on the dam side. His career over fences last year was a little bit hit and miss. The horse he beat at Bangor when he won on his chase debut was Bunduma, who goes into the Paddy Power with a big chance in a week or two's time. So that was all right, but he was a little disappointing at Exeter and very disappointing on his next start at Kempton. The Grade 1 company at Punchestown, and he was never a factor there at all. I just wonder whether he's left his speed behind, and Wincanton is one of those tracks where you need all the speed you can muster. In the old days, as a young horse, he had a very good turn of foot on soft ground. That was his real strength. Not that he was a slogger. He was a horse who handled bad ground, but he could produce a turn of foot at the end of it, as he showed a few times. Whether that still is there is really open to debate.
Okay. As usual, then, let's just have a little bit of a summary, Rory, if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
I will indeed. The 255 at Doncaster. My choice there is Lahayab from Mick Appleby. In the November handicap at 3:30, we're banking on the fairy tale here, although there are reasons to believe that Hilly Turner's got a very good final ride there with Buonarroti. In the Badger Eels at Wincanton, I think the Isle Lad will prove too strong for a good skin. And in the Elite Hurdle, I think Paul Nichols can get a double on the card in the shape of Irving.
Good work. Thank you very much, Rory. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you very much indeed.
There you go. The thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from midday. Ross Briley, Paddy Aspel and James Millman will be the team in the studio. We've got good cards at both Doncaster and Wincanton. November Handicap Day at Doncaster and plenty of good racing at Wincanton as well. Good jumping from Aintree and Kelso alongside that, and Chelmsford City provide the action in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.